You know, I've got an agent right now. We're about a week into a campaign, and we've had three offers on the property, all at the starting bid, right? You know, just kind of dipping their toe into the water offers, right? And she's wondering, like, why don't we have a full priced, you know, reserve offer?
Yeah.
I go, you got used to a different market, right? You have to really leverage offers in this type of market. You've got to create the conducive environment, right? You've got to have something like an auction at the end to get the buyer from the 1.2 to the 1.3 to the 1.4.
Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast aimed to deliver sales strategies, marketing tips, and business insights from industry experts and myself to build a listing-focused business for the future. Let's get into it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Rethink Real Estate. We've got a long-time I don't know how to phrase you, John. Trying to figure out how to explain Jonathan Bass is something that I'd actually didn't anticipate having to explain until now. But
well, Ben, you used to call me the weapon. All right, don't be bashful.
Yeah, no, but yeah, but again, mate, we're not in the arena of which the weapon is actually applicable. So, I guess that John, I'd probably call you somewhat of a real estate weapon. Yeah, that's no question about it. Because I remember when we first sort of got together, and John, for everybody that doesn't know John from a backstory, is that John was working. We won't say where he was working, based on his poor choices in the past. But ultimately, is that John came to us with a sort of a background of a call center. I think it was that you were running, John. Correct.
Yeah. At Keller Williams, but previous to coming with Harcourts was in finance. And so a little bit of the finance side of things, a little bit of the sales side of things is kind of my background.
Yeah. Well, I guess that I think that the other thing that, you know, sitting down in front of you on an interview, I did say to you is that we would turn you into a real estate weapon. And ultimately, I think that that is kind of what you are, is that the weapon is probably the most appropriate nickname that we can coin you, and certainly probably more appropriate for this this individual podcast. For those who don't know, is that John is one of our regional directors. He actually represents two sides of the coast of North America. He's got West Coast covered and he's got East Coast covered as well. John is a regional director for our Bay Area operation, but also he is our regional director for the Manhattan marketplace, obviously more specifically, but New York as a whole, as we do auctions over there. And you've been our trailblazer within Manhattan, John. And that's certainly something that I want to talk to you about. But obviously from humble beginnings, John actually was our growth manager for Harcourts Auctions within Southern California. Now it's been almost 4 years, John. I think it's 4 years.
Yeah, coming up on it. I think that just had an anniversary, actually, because it was mid-December when I started 4 years ago.
Well, folks, that, yeah, it actually was. I remember you were actually the first time that you experienced all of us was at the Christmas party. But I believe that's John calling me out on camera for not recognizing his anniversary or on podcast.
I got flowers from Calista. Don't worry.
Very good. But I guess that, so from a journey perspective, John, I think that the one reason that I wanted to have you on the podcast today is obviously not only is that you've sort of done the masterclass of auction all the way through, not only seeing it in Southern California, you've got the Bay Area and also Manhattan, which is a vastly, vastly different marketplace, and just proof of concept that auction can work in all types of marketplaces. However, the other reason is also starting from the ground up, from that humble beginning, as I mentioned, is that being that growth manager and being out there, your job was ultimately to go to the realtors that were in the network at the time that we were exclusive to the Harcourts business and sort of understand from their perspective of why they weren't offering auction to their clients from either the first degree or why they weren't doing it even if the property was sitting on the marketplace for a long duration of time. Because ultimately this audience that is listening to the podcast is both agents, but also we hope that it also is general public that is listening to this sort of to get a grasp of the auction process. I think that gives a really good outlook of things, John, because you did that for so long, but it was also like you were more of the agent's friend and on their side than maybe the regional director, who's Jason, at the time, where Jason would be the staunch advocate of auction, and you were sort of like the person that was sort of on the same level as the agent from a perspective of auction, just talking, hey guys, can I get an appointment with them? You were sort of rallying the support for auction in that sense. So why don't we start there? Is that if you were to give your sort of synopsis on why you think that there is an element of pushback to agents, one, offering auction in the first degree most of the time, because let's face it, 80% of the auctions that we take to market have previously been listed. And two, I guess, what do you see as the seller's ultimate objection to it as well?
Yeah, well, let's peel back the layers on that, because I think that it's definitely a two-part question there. When we're talking about the agents, I think that really, if I were to put a pin on it, Ben, it has a lot to do with market conditions, right? If the market's really, really hot, right? The excuses that I get commonly are, this isn't something that I need. So it comes back to, how much am I bringing in, right? If I have a property and I know that I'm going to be able to sell it, right? Am I going to, try something different, right? In that case, and make less money, right? It is a very selfish conversation that a lot of agents have with themselves, because ultimately we're here to get the best result for the seller. And so that's what we should be looking at. And so really, in the hottest of markets, my struggle has been with agents to say, guys, let's take a step back, right? Let's not necessarily look at it like you're making less money. Because if you bring me in on the listing presentation, 9 times out of 10, I'll get the seller to pay that extra half a point commission that they're going to be on charge for the process. And as a result of that, it's a win-win, because they're going to get more money, right? You're still going to make the same amount of commission. And not only that, is while you're in a very strong market, you got a case study, right? So when the market does take a turn, right, and you do need auction, you're not up against a seller that says, how many have you successfully done? And you go, goose egg, right? So that's kind of the fundamentals of how I would kind of diagnose a really strong market. Now, inversely, in a really, crappy market, one that doesn't deliver a lot of gifts like what we're in right now, right? A lack of competition, a lack of urgency, a lack of, leverage, in our negotiations. What I find is that the conversation's a little bit easier, right? It doesn't come down to the selfish elements of why I wouldn't offer this because I'm making less money. Because I think a lot of agents have had a shot at a listing. It's been on for 30 days and they're not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe they've asked for a price reduction, Ben, and they've been denied. Right? Maybe they've asked for them to take it off for a 30-day reset and the sellers are just saying, no, I'll leave it up at the high price, right?
Yeah.
We aren't in a hurry. We can take our time, right? And so I think that, categorically, if they hear that over and over and over and over, it makes a deposit, right? And I think that a lot of the agents that were resistant when the market was really hot are now going, you know what, this is a great time for me to get involved. This is a great time for me to offer it to my clients. I might not have a case study to lean on. And that's the insecurity, right? That I deal with in the bad market, is they didn't get the case study, right?
Yeah.
So they're insecure about having the initial conversation. And so more and more so, Ben, I'm saying don't have the initial conversation, right?
Sure.
Just bring it up in a way that is, very ambiguous. Hey, I brought into my team, right? Because I want to be on the cusp of the latest and greatest real estate trends. And we're in an anomaly of a market. And so I got to search outside the box to find you the best, most powerful resources to sell your property. Now, in doing so, I've taken on a team, right? They concentrate on a completely alternate method of sale. And it's completely different than what we've been doing the last 30, 60, 90 days. And I don't think that I'd feel right if I don't bring you up to speed on that other method. Because
you lead to a really good point there, is that obviously, your job is to convert sellers from a point of traditional to an auction, in a perspective of giving them the facts and evidence in order for them to absorb it to make an educated decision. There's been a few points that have been brought up, is that how often do you see a seller that actually is a little perturbed that it wasn't brought up to them in the first degree, now that you're revisiting it 30, 60, 90 days after? Why hasn't this been something that we've been told about until now? It's kind of a little bit egg on face for the agent if they don't bring it up in the first degree, even if they don't 110% understand it, even if the seller doesn't choose to use it in the first degree. It's making sure that they understand that the option is ultimately there. But I guess that where I'm going with this is that, how is it that, again, you've seen it handled well where, again, an agent, agents don't know what they don't know. Auction is not a widespread concept throughout North America. You know that better than anybody else, is that they are going to likely go into a presentation and do it the way that they've always done it traditionally without actually offering the auction method because they don't know about it or anything along those lines. We haven't had the opportunity to touch them. They might not be open to it, so on and so forth. But then 30, 60, 90 days later, you know, I've always said that the cycle of real estate works pretty simply, is that, you know, first week, it's the honeymoon phase. They always love them. Second week is that it's like, okay, great. Everything's moving along smoothly. Third week, it's like, all right, we're ready for our offers and to see what's happening. Fourth week, okay, we're ready to move. Fifth week, okay, we've got the wrong agent. And then the relationship starts to go backwards from there. So therefore, you've got to move with a sense of not urgency, is that I know people think that they don't need to sell, but the reality is that urgency is certainly something that needs to be brought to the equation to not jeopardize the reputation of that primary asset or of that listing. So I guess that where I'm going with it, the question is that where, how have you seen it handled with some elegance when they haven't brought it up in the very beginning of that first listing presentation and then they bring it up later?
Yeah. You know, well, we're at an opportune time right now where the market is shifting, right? It hasn't made its full shift. It's shifting. So a lot of the agents right now are using the excuse of fast shifting market. Now I'm putting one foot in front of the other in order to provide resources for my clients. So it's okay for them right now, you know, and they can get away with saying, you know, yeah, this wasn't something that I've been utilizing in, you know, a very fast moving market because I didn't need it, right? But now it's something that's a force to be reckoned with. I'm seeing that a lot. But I want to go back to, you know, kind of some of your comments there, one of which was, is that, you know, what's better saying, you know, bringing it up in advance, bringing it up later, obviously, you know, bringing it up in advance so you're not throwing you know what against the wall and hoping that it sticks. But second to that, guys, is I think that there's, you know, the underlying insecurity, right? It really can be dissolved just by a couple of, you know, 15-minute conversations with one of the auction representatives, right? They'll really tune you up to feeling really good about what we call an elevator pitch, right? We never expect that any of our partner agents will be able to run an entire listing presentation. Are there some that now do? Absolutely. Right?
So is that, so hang on, let's focus on the word insecurity there for a minute, because I think that it's actually a good word. Insecurity is that, so are you saying that insecurity is really the driving force to why an agent isn't actually doing it in the first degree or even bringing it up?
Well, I think that they don't bring it up because they haven't run one. I think that we have far more likelihood, and it's proven, the agents that have sold auctions, they are the ones that are bringing it up in the first degree, you know. Yep. But typically, you know, someone that's bringing it up later on in the process, Ben, I mean, we do know that, you know, just like you said, first week, it's like, oh, we're happy, dandy. Second week, third week, you get to the fifth week, it's like, where is my offer, right? Is that the time that you want to approach a seller when your relationship is really delicate, right? When they're saying, and guys, let's not be, you know, let's be honest with ourselves here. In this market, everyone's going to experience a listing that hits 30 plus days. Everyone that's doing business will. Now, the contradiction there is we know the market like the back of our hands. The sellers might not be in tune with the market. And so they're still at 5 weeks going, where's my offer?
Right? Do you think everybody, like, where do you see people from a mental set at the moment, John, considering the volume of real estate that you get to experience on both sides of the coast? Because sometimes a marketplace is only reflective of that individual location and topography and area. Yeah. Is that, what are you seeing from, you just mentioned that everybody's going to experience a listing that's over 30 days. What do you think from two sides? How are the agents dealing with that at the moment? Is there still a sense of denial? And how are sellers dealing with it? Is there still a sense of denial?
Yeah. I mean, I think that good agents that are staying on top of, you know, new trends and what's going on right now, Ben, they're the ones that, you know, have, you know, really predicted this market. And I shouldn't say predicted, right? But they were ready for the potential for what this market could show. Right. The agents that do one or two deals, you know, a quarter or what have you, those, a lot of them, yeah, are still in this kind of purgatory period, for lack of a better word, where they don't know what's going on. Right. I talked to an agent, Ben, yesterday, right? An agent that does maybe, you know, 15 deals a year, not a bad agent, right? But 15 deals a year. And she said to me, she said, you know, I'm really feeling like the market's going to make a full turn and prices are going to go back up come, you know, February, March. I'm looking at that going, how?
Is that thinking or hoping, John? I think that it's probably more of a hope perspective, is that I think that agents have gotten used to the the handout of what the last marketplace has been. And there is this level of hope to go back to that individual laziness. And again, this may be, and you may think that I'm out of line here, John, and so may the agent community. But again, I always say this, the politically correct is not my biggest suit. But the reality is that I have seen agents absolutely beside themselves that they have to do open houses again because the market's not moving quickly enough. I've seen agents pissed off that they have to print brochures again because the property's not selling within the first 7 days. Yeah. You know, and ultimately the agent community isn't willing to reduce their fee to do less work, but ultimately they still want to obviously do as little as possible in order to get that done. And that really does irritate me to another extent that there's still that hope out there that things are going to get better and not the embracing a regular real estate market. I don't think it's bad or it's worse, but a regular real estate marketplace.
It's super interesting, right? Because it's almost like those agents are paralleling their sellers right now, right? Mm. They have this hope mentality, just like their sellers have this hope mentality. I mean, I've got an agent right now, we're about a week into a campaign and we've had 3 offers on the property, all at the starting bid, right? You know, just kind of dipping their toe into the water offers, right? And she's wondering, like, why don't we have a full priced, you know, reserve offer?
Right? Yeah.
I go, you got used to a different market. Right. You have to really leverage offers in this type of market. You've got to create the conducive environment, right? You've got to have something like an auction at the end to get the buyer from the 1.2 to the 1.3 to the 1.4. Right. And so we're going through that. It's a learning lesson for, I think, everyone, Ben, you know, myself included, right, is that we didn't predict this market, but we were ready for this market, right? We had conversations about this market. We had conversations about this market, Ben, 3 years ago. Right, salivating because we knew that we were positioned for this. And so for anyone that's listening to this, guys, I really want you to understand that there's no reason to have the insecurity, right? There's no reason at all whatsoever to have insecurity about bringing this up to a seller because you have so many resources here at Harcourt's Auctions. Our job and our vested interest is to get you the auction listing, whether it be a brand new listing to market, right? Or something that you're converting over. If you're converting over and you know what, you didn't bring it up front, have a conversation with your representative from the auction team. They'll send you a script, right, for every scenario. Oh, we're 2 weeks into the process. Sellers are still happy with me, but I want to bring it up to plant the seed, right? Or sellers hate me. They say they're going to cancel the listing unless I bring them something in a week, right? We've got scripts for all that, guys, because we do 1,500 auctions a year.
But let's say, John, that people aren't comfortable with scripts. Like, at the end of the day, scripts are, some people are really good with that type of rehearsed stuff. Some people are really good with it, with ultimately learning what to say. But I think that coming back down to it is talking about the partnership that the Harcourt's Auctions team is with the listing agent, is that we are just an extension of their team. That, like, that's one of the things that we constantly say to agents when we partner with them, is that you don't know what to say, or you don't want to talk to them, or you get a phone call going, hey, what's this auction thing that you're doing? If you've got an auction listing, no problem at all. Hey, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get Jonathan Bass, our regional auction director. He's in charge of the auction process. He's going to reach out to you. Is this the best number to call you on? It's the same thing when you're giving the seller the option, is that, hey, I choose to be an expert in the traditional element of real estate, but I make sure that I've got my peripherals out to all different types of real estate out there and all different types of things that we could possibly help maximize the result for you. I don't get paid till I sell. I don't sell till I reach a price you're comfortable with. So why would I recommend anything that didn't work? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Jonathan Bass reach out to you. Jonathan is from Harcourt's Auctions. He can speak to a non-distressed auction process that may or may not be of interest to you. Just so you know, we've got multiple options that we can do in order to make sure that your home doesn't sit stagnant on the marketplace. So why don't we do this? Let's talk to John. You guys can then make an educated decision of whether a price reduction or a non-distressed auction is the way to go in order to percolate the interest on your property. You know, again, it doesn't even need to be said that eloquently, I guess, and I'm giving myself a pat on the back with what I just said, but it can just be said with, hey, there's this new alternative method of sale that's going around at the moment. It's seen some really great results because, guys, just to be clear, we can back up any individual marketplace that we're in with some great results. It's getting some great results. Would you like to hear about it? It is a non-distressed auction process. My advice is bringing up auction to them before you get there, right, John, or before one of the auction representatives get there, so that they're not blindsided in any way. But then they might have a few objections towards that, but either way, giving them the opportunity in order to engage or get the permission or even just talk about it in general.
Yeah, the engagement, by giving them a little taste of it, they're able to prepare some questions, right? Let them get a little bit defensive, because I'd be defensive too, right? This is a brand new process. I want to point out something that you said, Ben, that we didn't talk about that I think is worthy of a short conversation here is, we talked about the insecurity and bringing it up to the seller up front, right? But one thing that I never really took, you know, any ownership in, or I didn't really, you know, carry a lot of weight in, was maybe the insecurity might not be the bringing it up to the seller, because maybe they have a great relationship with their seller, but maybe, and you said it, right, you have someone on the team that can reach out to a buyer that has questions, maybe it's process related. And so if it's process related, guys, tie the bow on the offering here, that you have someone that's going to hold your hand through the entire process, to reach out to buyers, to, you know, secure interest, to articulate to you, right, out of the buyers that do come up and pop up on the auction website, all those leads, we call through them, and then we give you the best of them, right? These are the people, this is their qualifications, this is when they want to see it next, yada, 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 right?
Yeah.
The level of commitment that we give to each and every listing, I think, is second to none, right? Especially for what you pay.
Well, let's just nail down on that, John. You've really opened up a can of worms there that I actually really want to talk to, is that the service quality of what we ultimately give. Like, you go and talk to an agent about the inventory they've got, and we can diagnose whether or not there's some good things for auction or not good things for auction. Now, obviously, we have the common belief that everything can go to auction. It's just a matter of whether or not the seller's in a position to accept the marketplace or what auction will bring, because it is the truest form of value. But then, so you diagnose that. You can then do a listing presentation or a brief introduction. We've got so many marketing material, so much marketing material that you can then hand off to your sellers and that we can provide. You can then go on the listing presentation itself, whether it's virtual or possibly even in person, depending on where the property ultimately is. Then you can obviously answer all the questions and make sure that it is articulated. Now, one of the reasons to have that auction team involved, that if the seller doesn't like the idea of auction, they remove the auction team. They don't remove the listing agent, because ultimately it is still your listing in every way, shape, and form. We are just simply there to go alongside in a parallel with you as a listing agent, still you leading the process. But then once they've said yes to auction, is that then we will help them get all the due diligence done up front. We will obviously push even further traffic by remarketing the property through the MLS in a different format. We'll determine a bidding to start from price with them. We'll then meet with the sellers on a weekly basis to ensure that they understand what's going. We'll obviously then follow up with any buyers or agents that come through the property or call on the property, and we'll follow up, and we'll even put reports together for the agent in order to present to the sellers, and or we can do it on a weekly basis, all the way down to the live auction itself and getting people registered to bid, all the way down to, even if it doesn't sell, is then helping you price the property back traditionally, or talking to the seller about maybe taking it off the marketplace. I think that the full list of services, and I definitely have missed some of it out, and John, you can obviously speak to it a little bit more than I can, is that we are just making the offering from an agent so much more robust. And it does just frustrate me that insecurity, ego, pride, whatever you want to call it, gets in the way of this. And a seller is the one that actually misses out. And so does the agent by not actually getting a commission, because it doesn't end up selling. But the seller is the one with their primary asset when we're dealing with the biggest transaction of their life that ultimately misses out. And that's the thing that does ultimately frustrate me about the industry, that pride, ego, insecurity, all of those things end up coming into it. Again, that's a rant, so I'm sorry, but...
It's funny, when you were firing off everything that we offer, Ben, I started to get sweaty palms. I'm like, the average person would croak thinking about how much of a commitment that is. And it really is, you know, and we don't do it, guys, because we think that, you know, we want to show up and just act busy, right? We do it because it's tested, proven, and works, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen, you know, the small little segments of this process take a turn, and the whole process can take a turn. So getting this down to a science, right? And that's why your regional director is so important to you through the process, because they'll be able to communicate with you whether you're taking a veer, right? And quickly get you back on. Right. So use them, right? Use them.
John, I didn't even think of that. That's such a solid point, is that, you know, everybody thinks that we're trying to over-service in order to add value. It's actually, yes, sure, if you want to look at it that way, great. Sorry to interrupt your podcast, but I wanted to make sure that you're aware of the Harcourt's Auction business plan that is available to you as a free value add to your business. We released it earlier this year and have had an overwhelming number of people download it, but also an overwhelming amount of feedback that when they put it into action, it's changed the way that they've thought about their business, not only from a numbers perspective, but also as a inward lead flow to make sure that they're building a repeat and referral business for the future. The main goal of what we're trying to plan for is to remove you from cold prospecting into that repeat and referral natured business that everybody wants. Again, it is available to you on the 16th of January was the episode that you can go back and listen to on podcast or go back and watch through YouTube. But also, if you need to, go to harcourtsauctions.com, click the menu tab, go into the blogs and resources section, and you'll be able to find it under the Harcourts Auctions business plan. Also, you can send me an email, ben.brady@harcourtsauctions.com, and I'd be happy to send it through to you. But it's actually all of the individual little things that happen along the way that actually end up with the successful transactions. Like, for example, let's talk about following up with buyers after they've either been through or they've called, or following up with their agent after they've been through or called on the property. Right there, if that is not done, I know that that's a 20% more likelihood that the property won't sell come auction day, before auction day, or even shortly after. You know, there's the intricacies of this process, and our process is what it ultimately is, and our service standards have been set off that process because we know that it leads into an over 90% success rate over the last 5 years, regardless of whether it's a good, bad, or indifferent marketplace. And that's the formula, so to speak. Again, nothing adds up if the formula is incorrect, and that is all the little intricacies that we do along the way as the auction team. And I guess my real thing that I wanted to sort of get from you, John, also is that you've been subject to auction in many North American markets. You've done auctions in Canada, Mexico, the Bay Area, Texas, Colorado, New York, and remind me if I'm missing something, madam. So Florida, actually, as well. All of these individual markets. Can you touch on whether or not our process is any different in any of those markets?
Absolutely not. You know, I say this, I actually had this conversation just last week with an agent, and we were in New York. We're in a specific borough of New York, right? Then even take it a step further, we're like on a specific block, and they're saying, well, you know, I don't think it's going to work on this block because it's a historic block. It's in Brooklyn, da, 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 da. Like, you know, it just, you know, weird stuff doesn't work here. And I go, look, I run this process in Honolulu, Hawaii, and I run this process in British Columbia. I run this process in Texas. I run this process in Australia. I run this process in, you know, all over the place. And you're going to tell me that, you know, the Hawaiian market is the same to the New York market, to the Miami market, to the, no, they're all versatile. They're all different. They all have their intricacies and their uniqueness to them. But one thing that remains in all markets is greed, envy, delusion, right? You know, when buyers want something, right? And they know that, Ben, you're interested in, you're interested and nine other people are interested, there's something that happens to people.
Or there's the perception of that interest.
Yeah, sure. The perception, exactly. So, you know, what happens is they stop worrying about how little they can get it for and they just fixate on getting it, period, right? I want it. Now I know that other people are interested. I'm going to put my best foot forward. And so that's what I said, you know, if you think that your buyers here in Brooklyn are any different than the ones that want the property in Florida or want the property in Hawaii or want the property in Australia for that matter, right? If you think your buyers are different, right, then you got to look in the mirror, right? Because they're not different. When they see it, they want it. They're Americans. That's what Americans do. I want it now.
So, John, we're going to wrap it up here, mate, with your favorite auction story. You've always been pretty good at articulating an individual story. I've hit you this with it on the spot. You haven't had time to prepare for it. So favorite auction story, mate, and to round out the podcast.
So this is going to be an unconventional one, right? Usually, you know, you would give a case study of seller wanted $5 million, you got $14 million for the property, right? That's too easy. We have a lot of results that are like that. But I think in this market, I think it's important to notice, right, who your client is going to be and what position they're going to be in the awakening of what is the real market, right? And so I had a property not too long ago, San Francisco, and the seller out the gate wanted about 1.5 for the property, right? And the agent approached me because he said, John, we really have a problem. We're kind of at the cusp where they won't let me reduce the price. I am telling you right now that I probably am going to rid myself of the business unless they want to do auction. And I said, okay, so what's the value that you're seeing in doing auction here? It's not getting 1.5, right? Because you don't think that that's possible. He said, no, I think the value in auction is I've tried to educate her with opinion, right? I've tried to tell her, I think we need to reduce the price. I think we need to stage it. I think we need to do this. I think we need to do that. And think, doesn't work, right? He said, I want to show her the market. I want to put a big, fat, juicy contract in front of her that might be $100,000 less than what she wants, but I want to show the consistency of those offers. And I also want to not be beholden to one buyer. When I run an auction, I know I'm going to get multiple offers. When I have multiple offers, I'm not desperate for any one of those buyers. They're disposable to a certain degree, and I can make them walk to show up or prove a point to the seller. And so this agent listed it with auction. We put a 1.2 starting bid price. We flooded the property with interest. And he said all along, I think it's going to end somewhere around 1.4, right? We ended up with multiple offers on the property. We did have an offer that came in just below 1.4, all cash, non-contingent. Seller wanted to counter the offer, right? We gladly let the seller counter the offer. Why? Because we needed to show her that a buyer that could pay her exactly what she wanted was going to walk away and buy her neighbor's property. And that's exactly what happened, right? Now, would the agent have made the decision to let the buyer walk in a traditional process where he's chasing that one offer, right? Probably not, right? But because we had two other offers, you know, in our tool belt that we could work after, we let him walk. The seller subsequently went, okay, I get it now. Right? Buyer actually went under contract with a property that, you know, is right down the street. I get it. 1.4 is where it needs to land. And we were able to negotiate one of those other two offers up to the 1.4 and sell it. So that's a seller education play, Ben. And I think that right there is the number one reason why people should have this in their tool belt during this time, right? During this market, because the gap between what the seller's willing to accept and what the market's willing to bear has widened. It's widened so much just over the last 3-4 months, right? And so auction will help you bring that gap back to a reasonable expectation and then secure a sale, right? Make money when it's all said and done. And that's what we're here to do, guys.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us here today, John. Appreciate the insight, and not to mention as well as appreciate the persistence with the auction baton that you've taken over the last number of years, mate.
You bet. Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, bud. So about 75% of our audience hasn't liked, followed, or subscribed to our podcast. It would mean the world to us, and it would help this podcast more than you know to expand our reach if you were to like, follow, or subscribe on any of the platforms that you're watching or listening on. Thanks again.